It's Monday morning. That is Michael Small. I'm Heidi Holton. We are about to begin a conversation with mystery and thriller writer Brian Grewley. He is a journalist who shared with his colleagues at the Washington Post a Pulitzer Prize for their coverage of 9/11. He's also a successful novelist of mysteries. His first series was the Starvation Lake series that had hockey kind of at the center. Now the second in his Bleak Harbor series is out, comes out tomorrow. It's called Purgatory Bay. Writer Michael Connelly says it's impossible to put down. It's bleak, it's dark, and I agree with Michael Connelly. Brian Grewley is back on KAXE, KBXE. Brian, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Heidi. Hi, Michael.
Glad Good morning.
Yep. All right, so first, before we get into this story, what is it about maybe your nature, about human nature, that draws us to dark stories and thrillers like Purgatory Bay? Have you found an answer to that?
Well, I don't know if it's a definitive answer. As it happens, I have an essay coming out in Crime Reads publication where I address this very question. Are authors as twisted as the people, the dark people they create? And I talked with Mike Connelly and Laura Lippman and a bunch of other great authors about this. And I think, to oversimplify a bit, it's just that we are able to indulge our darkest impulses without consequence. You know, we just put it on the page.
Right.
And we get to let that play out. And it's kind of fun. I mean, Laura said to me, she said, it's possible in just about everybody. She said, those people who have their dogs poop on the street and then walk away from it and don't clean it up. She said, how do they justify that in their heads? I mean, it's minor, but, you know, all you do is take that and elevate or escalate it, and, you know, they're serial killers.
Well, let's talk about this, the twisted, some of the characters in Purgatory Bay. Jubilee Rathman is at the center of this story. Tell us about her, what's happened to her, and what's become of her because of what's happened to her.
So Jubilee Rathman, when she was 17, which is 12 years before the book really begins, all-A student, honor student, all-state soccer goalie, Lee's going to be graduating from her Michigan high school and going to Princeton. She's got life licked. And then her family is murdered in what appears to be a mob hit because her father operated copy print, you know, quick print stores that this particular family used to launder money. And there's a complicated bunch of connections between that. And so anyway, Jubilee's life is essentially ruined. One of her brothers, well, her only brother, is burned very badly in this murder. He doesn't die. So she has to care for him. Her life's consumed by that, and she's sort of, they're cast aside because of their connection to the mob. There's not a lot of sympathy for Jubilee and Joshua. So the book really opens 12 years later, and she is living in this fortress on Purgatory Bay, which is a small private bay near the town of Bleak Harbor, which is in southwestern Michigan along the Big Lake, Lake Michigan, that you guys are familiar with up there. And she is plotting a rather diabolical revenge on various people that she considers responsible for ruining her life. But the way she's going about it and the way she's targeting her victims is, in my opinion, even more twisted than you'd think. I don't want to spoil anything for the readers, but she has a sort of oblique way of looking at how to make somebody suffer. And that's what she's going about doing. One of her targets is a woman who was a journalist covering this mob family at the time of Jubilee's family's death. And standing between these two women, Jubilee and the journalist, his name is Mikey Deming, is the police chief of Bleak Harbor, Katja Malone. And there are all these three strangers, very strong women, all involved in this struggle for their lives and, in a sense, their souls.
You know, I think a common theme in the characters of your book is pain and emotional pain, loss, and how that shapes their lives. Do we move beyond pain? Can we move beyond that? And in your book, it's a little bit discouraging.
Well, again, I don't want to spoil things.
Right.
But Jubilee obviously has, she in effect, Michael, has moved beyond pain. She's made her pact with herself and how she's going to deal with it. The other characters, I think by the end of the book, because of this very painful experience, move beyond the other things that have held them back by the end of the book.
Right.
Do believe, well, I don't want to say what happened. So.
Yeah. We're talking with Brian Grewley. His new mystery thriller is out tomorrow. It's called Purgatory Bay. Jubilee is brilliant, actually. The way that she goes about this, the technology that she embraces and how it kind of insidious what she's doing happens. Are you somebody who understood that kind of technology, or did you need to do a lot of research to figure out that storyline?
No, I don't understand. I'm pretty bad at technologies. My kids like to tell me. And I did some research, but really, the stuff she's employing isn't that complicated. I was surprised to find out what she could do with. I think you're making at least one reference to drones.
Mm-hmm.
That she uses attack drones. I saw this amazing video about a year and a half ago. I forget who sent it to me, but it turns out it was fictional. But when I saw it, I thought it was real, and it was this executive of some company that makes attack drones talking to investors about how amazing their attack drones were and how they could, target individual people and kill them. And it was a chilling video, and it inspired me as regards to Jubilee. As it turns out, it's not as fictional. The video is fictional, but it's not science fiction. It's all of it is quite possible. I mean, we're seeing it happen now in the world.
Yeah.
Now, on the I don't know what page you call this, but it's the opening page, you quote from the Gospel of Matthew, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Is with the names of the character, Jubilee and Caleb and other characters, are you making a statement about faith gone wrong?
I don't know if I'm making a statement, Michael. Jubilee, obviously, she leans on that among the other Beatitudes as part of her rather ironic, maybe ironic isn't even the best word, perspective on where she needs to take her life. Of course, there's a Caleb, there's a Joshua, there's references to the Book of Tobit, which if you've never read, it's amazing. You should read it. It's a book in the Bible, and it's about...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll take you like 20 minutes to read it, and it's a fantastic story. And there's a character named Christian, which really wasn't intentional. It's just his name popped into my head, and only later did I think, oh, his name is Christian, and he's not very Christian. it just happens to be his name. I wasn't trying to make a statement, but I did want to attach Jubilee at least to that one, the attitude. And, I've done some reading on those, and they're frequently misinterpreted. I mean, obviously, Jubilee is misinterpreting it, but people frequently misinterpret what the Beatitudes are supposed to mean. And so I grabbed onto it. I thought it was an interesting detail. And I don't really I don't think of my books as making statements. I'm just remembering things and trying to tell stories, and keep people reading.
Where did the Did the story come from anything that happened to you in your life of Purgatory Bay?
Yeah, sort of. Actually, the very beginning of this particular story was I woke up one night in the middle of the night and I heard the opening verse to the song by the band, Ophelia, which is, bars on the window, mail by the door, why would anybody leave so quickly for? Ophelia, where have you gone? And of course, I'm not spoiling too much by saying that there's a woman named Ophelia who disappears early in the book. And that's sort of where the story started. But I finally got a chance to grab a piece of my own memory, which is a murder that occurred, a mass murder that occurred in northern lower Michigan in 68 or 69, where this family, the Robesons, they had a cottage up there, and somebody came and just murdered them all. And they, I don't think they were found for like a month. And the killer, the suspect, who they believe did it, killed himself later. So the crime was never fully, you know, officially solved. But anyway, I read about that in the Detroit newspapers when I was a kid. And then a couple years later, my parents bought a cottage not terribly far from where the Robesons were killed. So I would lay in bed at night in our cottage thinking, when is this guy coming to our place to kill us all? And it scared the shit, the crap out of me. And it's always been there. In fact, I read some of, not an entire book, but there's a really great book by a historian at the University of Michigan named Marty Link called Something About Good Hope, which is the name, Evil and Good Hope, I think is the name of the book. And it's about the Robeson murders. That's been a fascination of mine since I was a kid. And now it's in Purgatory Bay, and I'll never write about it again.
So, Brian, how does it work for you going into creating this story? Do you know what's going to happen? Are you laying it all out beforehand? People kind of come at these things in different ways.
Yeah, I don't outline per se. I have, usually, I have a vague idea where it starts and a vague idea how it's going to end. In this case, I didn't really envision the latter as clearly. And then when I turned it in, it ended a certain way. And my editors said, you know, you should think about doing this, changing a couple of crucial characters. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, God, this is going to take so much work. But they were right, and I did it. I'm glad I did it. And then it wasn't that much work. And so that in turn, that big change in turn changed other things. And the ending, which is as it is now, I think is more hopeful, not for Jubilee so much, but for other characters than it was in the initial draft.
That is author Brian Grewley. His new mystery comes out tomorrow. It's called Purgatory Bay. You can find more information on how to find the book at briangrewley.com. It was fun to talk to you again, Brian. Thanks so much.
It was great. Thank you so much for reading, and good luck with winter up there.
All right.
Okay.
You too.